reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, found on page 728. And we read Isaiah 7, beginning at verse 10. This is the prophecy of the virgin birth. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 1, found on page 1202, and we read Romans 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith, for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1032, and we read Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, which includes a quotation from our Old Testament reading. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. This is our text. Let's have a little fun today. It all begins in the Garden of Eden. And Satan approaches the man, the woman, well, the woman first. Did God really say, you should not eat of any fruit in the garden? And Eve says, well, yeah, we can eat of everything except this one tree, and we shouldn't even touch it or we're going to die. And Satan says, you're not going to die. Because God knows that when you eat of it, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. God was called by Satan what? Liar. You know, God can do all things. But in essence, there's one thing that God can't do. He can't stop being God. He is forever God. And being God, there's certain things about his being that simply cannot change. What are some of the things that God is? This is the test part of the sermon. God is true. He loves. He forgives. You got a good start. Omniscient. Merciful. We're short one important one yet. Huh? Forgiving. Okay. Loving. Ah, that was the one I was looking for. Thank you. We'll come back to that in a minute. Okay. But you get the idea. God is those things. And he can never not be those things because that's what God is. And yes, he can do all things, but he can't not be God. So let's say after Adam and Eve ate that fruit and God finds them hiding in the garden, he says, well, okay, all right. We're just going to call that one a gimme. We're just, you know, you messed up. Hopefully you learned your lesson. You're not going to do that again. What would that make God? A hypocrite or a liar? God can't be a liar. Otherwise, we could never count on God's word. We talk about his promises always being true. We talk about him never changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can't lie. And so Adam and Eve had to die. But we talked about God being some other things. Just. And if God is just, then who has to pay for what man did. Man has to pay. God is also merciful and forgiving. And yet he has to make man pay for our sins. This is a problem. And that's why we get down to the importance of the names that are in our gospel lesson for today. They will call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus is a very special name. It literally means, and I'll use the King James version of God's name, you know, not just God or Lord, but his real actual name, Jehovah. Jehovah saves, or God saves, if you wish. You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, notice how the angel says that. Hope the sermon's not that bad. I know, they're going down for Christmas practice. I get that. He doesn't say that God will use Jesus to save the people from their sins, as if Jesus is just the agent of God. He says he will save his people from their sins. That's why his name is Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. He's calling Jesus what? God. And then reinforces that a little bit later, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's got to be a man because man has to pay. But what man's life, even if he was perfect, is worth the lives of all mankind, of all history, for all time? Can one man make up for all of that? I wouldn't take that for a deal. Whose life could possibly be worth that much? God, who created the heavens and the earth, his life would be worth it. But God's not the one that messed up. It was man. And so in some mysterious union, God has to become man. And it's the event of the birth of Jesus that allows God to be God in all the ways that he is God. God is still true. God is still just. Someone has to pay, and someone has to make a payment sufficient to satisfy what justice would demand. But God is also merciful and forgiving and so full of love that he would ask his son to take on human flesh himself, to leave his heavenly throne, ultimately to go to a cross, and to sacrifice himself on that cross, that God may show mercy to his people and still be a God of justice, and still be a God of truth. What we're really celebrating at Christmas is not just the coming of a Savior, but the beauty of a God who never changes, who is all these things, those words we threw out at the beginning of the sermon, true, unchanging, omnipotent, eternal. just, loving, forgiving. Yes, God can do all things, but He can't stop being God. And we thank God that He didn't. And in the sending of Jesus Christ into human flesh, God was most perfectly all that He is. And it's important for us as Christians to hang on to this wonderful understanding of the character of Jesus. Because if you research the history of religions, when people start messing with who Jesus is, either attacking His full humanity or attacking His full divinity, the gospel changes. You know, if Jesus isn't fully God, He doesn't pay for as much. And you see that in the history of religions. For instance, if you take Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, how many sins do you think Jesus paid for in those religions? By the way, they don't teach that He's fully God in the sense that God the Father is God. How many sins do you think Jesus paid for? One. Adam and Eve's. Actually, just Adam's. By their act, they gave up the right to live. And so when Jesus died on the cross and He rose again, you have a right to live. Otherwise, you'd have just been dead forever. Now, that only gets you into hell. Where you go from there, guess who that's up to? You. You see, when you attack the divinity of Jesus, when He's not as much God as God is, He can't pay for as much. But there's also religions that, if you will, attack the humanity of Jesus. When He was raised from the dead, He wasn't actually raised with a physical body, because we really don't need those. In your next life, you're just going to be some kind of, you know, spirit person, soul or whatever, floating around, playing a harp, sitting on a cloud. And you can fix everything by just thinking it. Christian Science would be one of those. You hear about them now and again where some child is dying and needs physical help, and well, no, if they just believe hard enough. Well, it's because they don't cherish the human flesh the way God cherished it. Taking it into His very self for all eternity, and allowing that flesh to suffer and to even die, but then to rise again in the flesh. The divinity and the humanity of Jesus. He is fully God and fully man. He had to be so in order for God to redeem His people. And God, help us to remember, to allow Jesus to remain what He is. Because only as fully God and fully man does the gospel we cherish endure. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which indeed surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright, 2001. By Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, one and all rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.